Welcome to the Locked On Grizzlies podcast. My name is Sean Coleman. It's a pleasure to be with you. Hope you've had a great week. It is Friday. It's been a bit of a step back, but that's been okay. It's been a bit of a crazy whirlwind of events over the past few weeks in the NBA and covering the Grizzlies, and just in general in the sports world. College basketball certainly has started, and though you know COVID has had a bit of an impact, there's been plenty of action going all around the college basketball world. A lot of intriguing talent certainly to watch. So hope wherever you are, you're certainly enjoying it. I do want to add a bit of an apology. I had mentioned that we would have Think Tank Thursday yet for yesterday's episode. A few things came up. One, a very positive development that I will mention in a little bit later on in this episode. Another was an unexpected lack of availability for me in regards to the day job. But here with you today, we actually are going to have two episodes for you today for you to enjoy over the weekend. Again, I'll get into a bit more detail about the next episode coming this afternoon. Very, very excited about that one, but we will go into detail about that. Of course, we are going to stick with our plan from yesterday, and instead of Think Tank Thursday, I think I've come up with a better name, Triple Take Thursday, giving you three takes that really focus on important and relevant topics as far as the Grizzlies go. In today's episode, I'm going to talk about the injuries to Jaren Jackson Jr. and Justice Winslow, how that could impact the season, how the Grizzlies could make up for that, you know, eventually in time, and what in the development of, you know, new opportunities that could be there for younger players, what that could do for some veterans as time goes on. Of course, you can follow the show at Locked On Grizz, myself at Stats SAC. You can find the podcast wherever podcasts are available, Spotify, Stitcher, wherever you find the podcast, you know, on either via your phone or via the internet, however you choose to listen to podcasts, we are there. And we ask that you rate, review, subscribe to the show. Let us know what you think. We always want to make sure that, you know, we know what preferences you want to be met with our content on the show. That's the reason why we do it. And that's why I love doing this. My name is Sean Coleman. I've been doing this now for a little over 2 years, writing over at Grizzly Bear Blues, podcasting in various places. Now here going on a little over 6 months. Really excited to start my first season hosting Locked On Grizzlies. So excited to see what happens with the Grizzlies. And that's the reason why I love doing this. It combines a lot of my passions, writing, podcasting, sports, NBA, but mainly just sharing my perspective with those who I share passions with, and that's you, our listeners, for the Grizzlies and basketball in general. So just cherish every opportunity that I get to do this show. But let's jump right into, you know, the topic at hand, and that is obviously the start of the NBA season. And of course, this week has been Grizzlies Media Week. You know, a lot of the Grizzlies have been available to speak, talk about, you know, what they've been doing in the offseason, and also, you know, what they, you know, are focusing on getting prepared for the upcoming, you know, campaign. And many of them, through various questions that I and others have asked, you know, it's been focused on the current, you know, health situations of Jaren Jackson Jr. and Justice Winslow. Now, to catch everybody up, the Grizzlies, you know, like they should, to be honest, like a lot of teams are, they don't put a lot of information out there as far as these injuries go because, you know, it's still a work in progress. We do know that both Jaren and Justice will play at some point this season, and it likely will be early in the season. For Justice, based off, though an actual timeline's not really been given, I would imagine that towards the first of the year, you probably see him, you know, start to get back on track in terms of playing probably 2 to 3 weeks into the season. For Jaren, it sounds like it's more of the 4 to 6 week time frame, just if I were to put a number on it. I can't guarantee that. But the main thing to know about both Justice and Jaren is that the Grizzlies really have no reason to hurry them back. They need to do all that they can to make sure that both Justice and Jaren are fully 100% when they come back, so when they do, they can clearly make the impact we all hope that they can make. But obviously, without those players in place, it takes, you know, a good amount of talent out of the Grizzlies' equation, so others will have to step up, and I'll mention that, you know, in next segment. But in terms of Justice and Jaren alone, these injuries are significant in that you don't want for these injuries to either be lingering and really impact another campaign for both of their careers. And you also certainly don't want it to take away the opportunity from the Grizzlies and both Jaren and Justice to really develop further in terms of the ideas that the Grizzlies have for them. Now, starting with Jaren, you know, at the end of the season, Jaren's still going to be 21 years old. He's going to have 3 seasons under his belt, before, you know, before the age of 22, so obviously he still has plenty of time to develop. His development track so far has been that of a player who has shown a much higher and versatile offensive ceiling than really anybody had projected for him, but also a bit of a slower development curve when it comes to defense that many thought could have been all NBA, you know, type potential. Now, he could eventually turn into an all-NBA type defender, but his consistency is certainly something that has not been at the level that many of us had thought. And also, the smaller things like, you know, fouling, rebounding, things such as that, those are just going to take time to get going. But the one thing that you don't want to see is, while I wouldn't label him as injury prone as of yet, he has had both season ending injury, and you certainly don't want for a big part of this, you know, another chance for a developmental year to be taken away. Jared is viewed as being the long-term, you know, partner with Ja Morant that the Grizzlies are really investing in to turn them into a potential title contender, though they may need other pieces in time as well. So you don't want Jared to lose another year of development due to injuries or due to a lingering injury effect. I imagine that that's not going to be the case. The Grizzlies are going to make sure that when he comes back, he is fully healthy, and they will then implement him into the lineups when it needs to happen. And so long term, I don't necessarily think the injury is going to have that big of an impact. You just don't want for a lot of this season to be taken away from him when he really could continue to take that next step forward, not only in terms of being a more complete all-around offensive player like he showed in the bubble, but also the ability to continue developing his defense and working on the smaller parts of his game to be a more complete all-around player. Justice, on the other hand, I think certainly is someone who the focus is more on the short term. If Justice Winslow comes back from injury, and that injury were to linger, or if he were to, you know, just for some reason not be able to stay healthy, I really think that that kind of puts the writing on the wall that the Grizzlies are probably better off adding his salary for next year to be open and free for, you know, more creativity with the cap than investing into the player in Justice that they really haven't had the chance to evaluate. I know the idea of Justice Winslow, of what he can add to this team as an effective perimeter defender, secondary playmaker, and hopeful, reliable shooter, at least to catch and shoot opportunities. If he were to be that type of player, he probably is worth the investment next year. But if he either cannot stay healthy to where you can't clearly evaluate that, you know, and have a, you know, evaluating that over like, you know, 20 to 30 games, it's really hard to put a $13 million commitment on that for next year. But if he can play for 50 or more games and really emerge as a significant starter, one that adds difference-making ability for the Grizzlies, it's probably worth the investment. But that's the thing about it. It's not just him coming back from injury and proving to be healthy that I think Justice Winslow has to do. I also feel that he truly has to show he has difference-making ability. What I mean by that is that if he comes back and he shows that he can be an adequate to good defender, and he can, you know, make some passes, you know, that's great. That certainly helps out the starting lineup. But if that's really all that he's doing, what difference is he really making? That's the question that I have. Because that type of skill set, you already have in DeAnthony Melton, who you just signed for 4 years, and you already have, really, in Kyle Anderson, who you have signed for next year already. So in both those players, do you really want to commit $13 million to another player who simply offers, you know, maybe a little bit more upside, but in reality is just simply a bigger DeAnthony Melton or a more athletic Kyle Anderson? I would find it hard to make it make sense to commit a combined basically $30 million to three players who basically, while they have strengths in one area, weaknesses in the other, at the end of the day, they add similar values in similar ways. So for Justice, for me, it's multiple questions that need to be answered for the Grizzlies to really make the commitment to him for beyond this year. Can he, number one, stay healthy? And number two, can he show progress in his game to where he really adds difference-making ability to this core? And for Justice, there's certainly motivation to do that. Because if the Grizzlies were to bring him back, he were to play, and then for some reason it were to not work out, whether it's a league injury or he just struggles this year, they decline his team option. Well, now Justice starts getting into the realm to where you, from where he was drafted, I don't necessarily want to call him a bust, but I certainly will say that his development has been halted due to injuries and just due to the overall lack of being on the court to really make the most of his potential. I think that certainly, I don't think he's on the level of a Josh Jackson, for instance, in terms of being a bust. And I certainly think that he, you know, could find an opportunity, you know, eventually over the next few years, maybe it is in Memphis, to where he truly breaks out. But if for some reason the Grizzlies were to decline his option for next year and it were to not work out for him in Memphis, I think that that's just another, you know, negative thing on his career that does start to impact his earnings, does start to impact his outlook, and though it could work out, I do think that Justice really, really needs to make the most of his opportunity this year for him to have a significant chance of reaching the high ceiling many had for him. But speaking of expectations, speaking of taking advantage of opportunities, with Jaren and Justice both being out, there are plenty of opportunities for many of the young Grizzlies that are on their roster. Coming up, I'm going to talk a bit more about how do the Grizzlies make up for the absence of Justice and Jaren, and what players could step up and truly take advantage of that going forward. On Monday of next week, I'm going to break down the 2020 rookie class. If you've had the opportunity to look at our draft profiles, I did talk about Xavier Tillman and Killian Tilly especially. To be honest, I didn't talk about Desmond Bane because I did not anticipate that we would trade up to draft him, but certainly am glad that we did. So I'll be discussing how all of those rookies could potentially make an impact, how they fit Taylor Jenkins' systems, and in what ways they could succeed or struggle, you know, coming up in the 2020-2021 season. But those three names are among a plethora of options that really will need to step up for in place of the absences of Jaren Jackson Jr. and Justice Winslow. Now, the areas in which Jaren and Justice were going to be heavily relied upon are pretty clear. It's Jaren's perimeter shooting, obviously also his two-way potential at the four spot. And for Justice, it's secondary playmaking and his defense. So the way that it's going to play out, I feel, is a few different ways. Obviously, to me, the first thing that stands out is how does the starting lineup look with Justice and Jaren out of it? You have a couple of different options. I talked with this a bit on Monday of this week with Mark King about, you know, when I kept talking about specific players that are going to be really interesting to watch this year, when we were talking about the younger players, it really came back to, you just got to let them play and see what you got. And I think that the answer to this question is starting Brandon Clark. Brandon Clark, obviously, emerged as one of the most advantageous reserve pieces in the NBA last year. But he clearly showed that he has the ability to perhaps grow into an even bigger option or an even, you know, more, you know, skillful option as a potential starter. And I think the Grizzlies have the perfect opportunity to see that. You certainly don't want to take away from his effectiveness, but I also don't want to think you want to put a limit on his ceiling as of right now of what he could be. I think that the best thing for the Grizzlies to do, both in the short and long term, is to take advantage of Jaren's absence by allowing for Brandon Clark to be a trusted starter. Even let him get out there, play next to Jonas, see what he can do. See if he can expand his game from the things that he's comfortable with to really become a more versatile offensive player, as well as really step into his own as a defensive player. If he does that, well, then you truly are starting to realize he could be a long-term answer next to Jaren in the starting lineup for the Grizzlies. If he were to struggle, give him a chance to figure it out. Let him have the opportunity to experience some struggles and see if he can figure it out, which could be better for him as he continues to develop, you know, into a better version of what he is now. And the thing is that you really have no risk in doing it. Because if for some reason it doesn't work out to where he's struggling in the starting lineup, all you simply have to do is shift him back to the bench. And of course, you know, there he really is an effective player. And if you know, his long-term ceiling is as a six-man candidate every single year, that's perfectly fine. But I think the Grizzlies should take full advantage of the opportunity that they have to start him in place of Jaren to see where he stands now and if he could take that next step as a potential starter. If he were not to be the option to be there at the starting four position, I think that Kyle Anderson probably emerges as that option. And if that's the case, I think at that point, you probably see the rest of the lineup become the more interesting thing to see develop. With Kyle Anderson, you know you've got defense and you know you've got secondary playmaking ability. There's not a lot of scoring potential. So at both the shooting guard and small forward position or the wings position, then it'll be interesting to see what the Grizzlies do to generate the shooting that they're going to be missing when it comes to Jared. And I think that that means that you could start to see options such as Dylan Brooks playing the three and then perhaps Grayson Allen or Desmond Bane playing at the shooting guard position. Now, I think that you may see Dylan and De'Anthony Melton start the season out as the small forward and shooting guard. I think that with their experience, that may be the case. But if you've got Melton and if you've got Kyle Anderson out there at the same time, I think the Grizzlies will quickly figure out it's going to be hard to stay with some of these starting lineups when you don't have the same shooting potential as a lot of those teams. I think that if Brandon Clark starts the four, you may have a little bit easier time starting Melton. But if the Grizzlies feel that they want to start Kyle Anderson at the four position, they may be better off starting two shooting options like a Grayson or a Bane with Dylan instead of Melton. So it'll be really interesting to see what options are there. Me personally, I would love to see a starting lineup of Ja Morant, De'Anthony Melton, Dylan Brooks, Jonas Valanciunas, and Brandon Clark. It's a small lineup, but you do have good shooting potential, you have good defensive potential, and you have the ability to move the ball around as well. Plus, you give options that you're relying on for the future more opportunity to get shooting volume and develop their shots early in the season so that when Jaren and Justice both come back and some of these talents shift back to the bench, they have become more reliable shooting options. I think that that is another development that you could see. So it's going to be really interesting to see how the starting lineup plays out with the young options. But I would put a preference on these young options. I'd put a preference on giving Brandon Clark run as a starter, and I would also shift between Dylan Brooks, Desmond Bane, Melton, and Allen. I would really see which of those players can step up and be a starting option when Justice and Jaren come back. Now, obviously, Dylan has the upper hand, but you could really see someone step up to be a, you know, partner in crime with him as far as wing options to play next to Morant until Justice does come back. My personal hope is that it is Desmond Bane. Desmond Bane truly does step up to be that option, though I could see Grayson actually making the most sense as the starter, because then when you combine him and Dylan in their shooting ability next to Jaw, you have the ability to have Bane and Melton with Tyus Jones, and that your bench basically remains just as strong, because you have Melton's ability to create defense against second units, and then you also have his ability to set up Tyus and Bane as shooters, you know, in the second unit as well. So there's different varieties that the Grizzlies could see play out. I hope that they take full advantage when it comes to their backcourt of seeing which duo makes the most sense with y'all on the court until Jaren Justice comes back. And then as far as the four position goes, I really want to see what Brandon Clark can do there. I think that it's smart to utilize Kyle Anderson at the four position on occasions, because that's going to allow for you to use his defensive versatility and added playmaking to open up Jaw and you know, others for shot opportunities, and it gives you a secondary playmaker. But at the end of the day, with however the Grizzlies fill out the four position, however they decide to go with their backcourt rotation, the main goal is to just give the young players opportunities. Because if they can take advantage of those opportunities, it benefits you in so many ways. It allows for you to get more quality depth. It allows for you to get competent starters if other injuries were to occur. It allows for you to have the best chance of making the playoffs if you were to be without Justice and Jaren for a while, because you're young. Depth is making the most of its opportunities. And the final thing is, and this is what we're about to talk about in the third segment, if your young depth were to develop, that provides more confidence in them from the coaching staff in the front office, and you could start to see there being more potential moves made to, again, focus on the future with present assets. Coming up, I'm going to talk a little bit more about that. If the Grizzlies were to, you know, really feature their young depth in the absence of Justice and Jaren, and that young depth were to produce, what could that mean for the trade deadline and next offseason when it comes to veterans such as Jonas Valanciunas, Kyle Anderson, and others? We'll be right back with you to discuss what could occur if the Grizzlies' young depth really emerges as successful. If you want to be basketball smart, it starts with listening to the Hollinger and Duncan podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. NBA analytics pioneer and front office insider John Hollinger joins Dunked On podcast Nate Duncan to bring you scouting reports, game breakdowns, and salary cap analysis. Subscribe to Hollinger and Duncan today wherever you get your podcasts. And this actually is one of the reasons why we were a bit delayed on today's podcast. I am very, very excited to let our listeners know, and I obviously will also, you know, let it be known once we get the podcast, you know, out to the masses later on today, that Dunked On podcast hosts and Hollinger and Duncan, you know, co-host Nate Duncan will actually be joining me, one of the more well-known, you know, analysts and minds out there when it comes to talking about the NBA, especially the salary cap and the nuances of the business in the NBA. Nate Duncan was kind enough to join us, and we will have the show with him later on today. Very, very insightful and just enjoyable discussion with Nate, so very excited to have him. I will have that podcast out later on today, and I can guarantee you will certainly enjoy it. So, before we get to that, do want to wrap up this show, though, in which we're talking about, you know, what impact the Justice and Jaren injuries could have. Obviously, you know, we've talked about what it could do in terms of, you know, their seasons, a season that I think is critical to both of their careers, how the Grizzlies will make up for their absences with their depth, and what could emerge because of that. Now, if Brandon Clark, for instance, really steps up into a starting role and succeeds, Justice and Jaren come back, the backcourt has really stepped up as well. You know, the Grizzlies' investment in their depth is starting to show, just like it did last year, that up and down the roster, you can see clear progression from many of the Grizzlies' pieces. Well, now the Grizzlies start to, you know, think, you know, what can we do to make the most of this season? Now, the Grizzlies have continued to say that their focus remains on the future, as it should. Obviously, though, with the development of things that have happened around the NBA, for instance, the Russell Westbrook trade that occurred yesterday, you've seen teams like Houston, like New Orleans, like Oklahoma City, and others, you know, in Sacramento, for instance, you've seen several teams, you know, theoretically take a bit of a step back in terms of their talent. Other teams, like Phoenix, have certainly stepped up. But the Grizzlies certainly are in the playoff conversation, and especially with the expanded playoffs this year, you know, I don't think there's any doubt that the Grizzlies are gunning for the playoffs as they should, and that they need to take advantage of every opportunity that they can to make the playoffs. If your players are playing at a better than expected level, and then you get Justice and Jaren back, there's no reason not to continue playing for the playoffs. That just shows how well this team has gelled together, and it's just an absolutely wonderful development, you know, if they were to make the playoffs after the season that they had last year. But say that your depth is having success, but you're still, you know, not, you know, you're not winning games. It looks like the playoffs may be a long shot, you know, as you get towards the middle point of the season. They came out and talked about that towards the end of March, early April, they're looking at that as potentially being the trade deadline. Well, if the depth that you've been featuring in place of Justice and Jaren is really developing, your young players are really showing good potential, that could make veteran pieces like Jonas Valanciunas, like Kyle Anderson, perhaps Gorgui Dieng, and even a name like, you know, a Tyus Jones or a Dylan Brooks potentially available for trade. Now, I think that Tyus and Dylan are much less likely to be options to be traded. I also would find it surprising if Jonas was traded, you know, before this season. But it does allow for the Grizzlies to potentially search options more. And so now if your young core and it's and the youth that you've invested in to support it is really showing true development, it is really showing that they can be a competitive roster, it gives the Grizzlies more reason to take present assets and to take present trade chips and trade it for future assets that can give you a better chance of getting truly valuable pieces to add to this core when it's closer to being, you know, a true contender. That's the type of moves, that's the type of active approach successful front offices that are either in small markets or that are, you know, leading rebuilds, that's the type of moves and those are the type of decisions that they need to focus on to really make the most of their opportunity. Again, I'm not suggesting that these trades occur. If the Grizzlies truly are in playoff contention, I still think the best option for them is to just keep the roster that they have in place, go for the playoffs, and just see what this roster can do in high leverage and playoff situations. But if this Grizzlies team, despite showing progression up and down the roster, still is seeing the playoffs as a long shot, I think that the Grizzlies would be smart to use some of their veteran pieces in trades for future assets. That way, you're best positioning yourself to where if you don't make the playoffs this year, you're in the lottery in a very strong draft in 2021, and you've got more assets to play with going forward as your young roster and your young core continue to develop. It all goes back to the thing that we've consistently been saying, but that you should never get tired of either hearing or saying if you blog or do a podcast or cover the Grizzlies in general. It's the fact that last year's success has really put the Grizzlies in a position to where there's no bad outcome for this year. You truly do want to see the Grizzlies really emerge as a perennial playoff contender this year. But if for some reason they don't, and they at least are progressing as a roster, there still is plenty of benefit in the assets that they already have and the assets that they could gain through trades to let this year play itself out. And then in the summer of 2021, when you potentially could have a lottery pick in a strong draft, plus have some cap room to add a significant piece through trade or free agency, there is a lot of potential outcomes naturally that could happen this season. But the good thing for the Grizzlies is that I can't see one of them that's negative, unless something unexpected happens. So that's the beauty of the success that the Grizzlies have had so far. It's that all options on the table. There's not one of them that seem highly likely to be negative in terms of the overall projection of this team. And in whatever way that they do develop and whatever opportunities may come to fruition or whoever, you know, may succeed or struggle, the Grizzlies have plenty of options to make the most of the present and the future. And that's what makes this year exciting, despite the uncertainty that may be surrounding it in terms of COVID-19. Again, I do want to remind you, just as I mentioned a few minutes ago, later on today, I will be publishing the podcast interview with Nate Duncan of the Dunked On podcast, as well as the Hollinger and Duncan podcast. Really exciting, exciting, and just enjoyable conversation with him that I think many of you will really enjoy. It's been a pleasure talking with y'all again this week. You can again find the show at Locked On Grizzlies, myself at StatsSAC, the show wherever podcasts are available. I'll be with you later on this afternoon with the Nate Duncan interview, and then starting next week, we will look at the rookie class on Monday and start getting into some player review or player previews for the 2021 season. Until later on today and next week, my name is Sean Coleman. It's been a pleasure talking with you, and we'll talk to you soon here on the Locked On Grizzlies podcast.